You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
In the year 2067, fires rage throughout the country. The air, is it breathable? Not really. A bunch of couples are like, if only we had a better life for the children. Time travel, that's how we'll solve this. Again, that's 2067, not 2020. Cody Smith McPhee, the actor playing Ethan White, must team up with a bunch of crazy scientists that knew his father to travel into the future in hopes of saving the past. Da-da-da. And we're here to talk about that today here on the Screeter Squad with beautiful sound really juxtaposed against this wonderful score. We have Gina with us.
Hello, how are you?
And we got Madman, best liquor store owner ever, my guy, Max.
What's up?
Of course, we can't leave out Elliot.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, a lot of time travel movies these days. Kind of feel like the pulse of that is no one wants to live in the moment they're in anymore. How do you guys feel about this movie?
This one seemed to be based on the future of the California wildfires engulfing the whole world.
And the past of the Australian ones. That was this year, guys, in January. Everybody forgot.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like somebody in California during the wildfires watched every single Mad Max movie and then was like, hey, I've got an idea for a script.
Yeah.
And then that script turned out to be really, really boring.
Yeah, this film, I watched it because my guy is in it. I always say his name wrong. Ryan Quatton. You know who I'm talking about, okay? I appreciate this actor, but this film just was, I don't know why it was made.
Yeah, I enjoyed parts of it. It was, I think after the first like half an hour, 45 minutes, it started going downhill. The beginning was really cool how they were trying to set things up, but I don't really know if it paid off great.
Yeah, I'll admit I really liked the mystery to this movie. The post-apocalyptic world, I'll also admit, very tired of that. I'm kind of exhausted about the evil, bleak future. Because, you know, maybe we should change things now and not think about tomorrow so much as these crazy films would have us insist we think about. I don't know. Maybe I just got to keep getting higher and higher in my voice until I pass the buck. Elliot, what did you think about the time travel there?
It really doesn't help that this movie starts out almost exactly the way that Mad Max Fury Road starts out.
Yeah.
Which is this overhead narration of news reports about, you know, oh, climate change is ravaging the world and we're running out of water and oil and blah de blah de blah de blah. So, I mean, just, I don't know if the movie was intentionally trying to invoke that, but, you know, Mad Max Fury Road is the best Australian action movie probably ever, and the best action movie of the last 30 years, easily.
Easily.
So, just, I mean, invoking that on even a sort of unintentional level, I think, really kind of draws a sharp contrast with this movie that's already a pretty, I think, weak movie. So,
well, the news reporters also were telling it so straight. Like, you didn't hear any of them saying, fires around the world, bad thing? Or famine and poverty taking over entire states is this a problem? Like, they said it very straightforward. So it was a little jarring that they were so honest about the decline of societies. Now, we have someone go into the future. Here's the twist that intrigued me, and I'm not sure it even tried to pay off. Our time traveler finds a dead body wearing his spacesuit. I suppose it would be a time travel suit. Whoa! Very, Twilight Zone-ish. I was hooked. But as the movie progresses, I don't think it cares that I was hooked. Did I misinterpret that? Or what do you think?
Okay, see, everyone has like a great thesis statement for this film. But let's just be honest. I do not appreciate you building me up for something and then be like, JK, we're not going to deliver on it. Because this film, to me, I mean, I'm okay with predictable films. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm extra. But I didn't know what this film wanted me to take from it, because I couldn't really fully get immersed into the world that you were building for me. So when the reveal came, it was just like, okay, well, duh. And then, but you talk about such important, like, real life issues. And I'm like, why are you guys handling this? Like, this is a Disney TV show. Like, it just felt really just tone deaf. And then for the payoff not to happen, or I don't know. I don't know if you guys felt like the payoff was there, but for me, it was just like.
It wasn't for me, no.
Definitely.
It was not.
No, me either. It was interesting how it was kind of like, I also expected to see more of this world, but it was kind of like a single location in the future. It was just like the same like little cave room. And then they went in, it's like you had some like video game shortcuts that open other places to places you started out at.
Did you guys get a handle on other than fire, bad, air, breathable, I don't know, bad, disease, bad? It didn't really talk about why society was so horrible and why despair overtook everyone rather than what usually happens, people coming together and trying to make the world a better place. Everyone was just kind of miserable and they didn't really seem like characters to me. More like caricatures.
Definitely felt like the plot was driving the characters rather than the other way around.
They forgot the message, like what you're saying. It was just kind of, it's the last city on Earth, and they're all experiencing some kind of like oxygen poisoning, and it didn't really have anything to do with anything else that was going on in the world. They were just trying to buy like new masks and like get high on oxygen.
It was a lazy attempt to be like, see how we're like doing this now? Like, and it's like, honey, read the room. We are grown up here. We are the generation of Black Mirror, honey. You're gonna have to come a little bit harder than this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If not, then just give us enough of creativity within this world that you're building. Because it was a great, like, the bones was there. But I'm glad you brought up the motivation of like the characters, because that really bothered me. It was just like, this is all forced because the logic of the plot follows this. So the actors, because it was just like, why are you doing this? Like, why are we? I don't know. I enjoyed it, though. I think it looked really pretty. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty to look at.
Yeah, and I thought the music was great, too.
Yeah. Yes. And I like the guy. Like, he, I forget his name too.
Cody Smith McPhee.
But he was interesting. I liked him, but yeah, I do like. I don't know if that was that all CGI or was that like?
Oh, I didn't really look into it.
Wait, for which part?
Just the environments all around.
Just the environment, yeah. Like, or did you know if they like built that set?
I did. Yeah, did not do my homework. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just curious because it did look really nice. Like they put a lot of like effort and time into the production, so I appreciated it.
Well, another thing I thought was odd, they actually explain why time travel is dangerous, because the Earth, where it is floating through and spinning through space on its axis orbit across the cosmos, will not be in the same spot as it is even an hour from now. So if I time travel to the same spot I am now, I'll be floating in space and I'll die. Of course. And the fact that they mentioned that, it kind of took me aback. Like, okay, that's very high concept sci-fi. That's why the TARDIS is called the TARDIS. Time and dimension relative in space. And then he time travels and they just kind of backseat it. Like, okay, we've had enough nerd talk today. We've, you know, we've let Brad know that he's cool by knowing what these words mean, but we're done talking to you, dork. And I felt kind of insulted a little bit.
That reminds me of something really funny now that I think about it, because you were saying earlier that this that Cody Smith McPhee, the main character, played the young Nightcrawler in the X-Men prequels. In this movie, there's a part where they're saying, like, we're going to have to time travel you, but you might, like, end up inside of a rock or something, and we're going to have to, like, shoot you from the sky. The same thing happens when he's, like, young Nightcrawler. He's like, I have to be able to see what's inside, otherwise I'm going to, like, teleport inside of a rock. It's, like, the exact same line.
Typecast. Teleportation typecast. So this film's full of forward jumps, but it's also full of flashbacks. Elliot, do you think that was an homage to the Pip-Boy in the vaults of the Fallout universe, or just a coincidence during the flashback sequence with his father?
Well, I have never played Fallout, so unfortunately...
Womp womp. How did you feel about the flashbacks in general, then?
You know, like pretty much everything else in this movie, I think they fell kind of flat. One of the stronger things about this movie, but this movie just has... It so deflates itself that even the flashbacks were weak. Certainly not enough to hold this movie up.
I did think the dad and the young version of the main character had pretty good chemistry by the end. That was one part I liked. Because I think the actor that played the dad was actually pretty good by the end. Because he didn't get much time in the movie, but I think I liked him.
Yeah, the father, Aaron Glennon plays the father of Finn Little as Little Ethan. I thought they both did very well also. I thought the plot in those sequences was a little wonky also. Like, you know, they're living a world where they're saying, we can't go outside. Outside is death. And they go outside anyways, so...
I mean, let's be real. You know, it's not that much different than what's happening. Like, you would think that humans would be smarter than this. It's sad to say that one of the most cringiest plot devices used in this, we are living out in real life. But, you know, hey.
Yeah. I agree.
That love story could have gone somewhere too.
Oh yeah, that didn't really go anywhere either.
Yeah, that was very like, oof, can we not today with this forced? I didn't feel any type of anything for anybody at all.
No. Yeah, definitely not.
Oh, that's right. He has a wife that he loves who's a teacher. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and then he's just whining the whole movie about like trying to save her, and he's like, in the future, he's like, if it's 400 years past, she's already dead anyway.
Right.
His brother kept yelling at him.
That was strange. He's like, no, my wife, she's gone. It's like, she was gone the second you stepped in the time machine, dude. People don't live 400 years.
It triggered me like Man of Steel triggered me with that. Yeah. It was like, am I supposed to believe this is love? Come on, guys.
Ooh, I love it. Lois and Clark should love each other. And not many people point out how dead their chemistry is as a means to make you upset about that movie. You know what? Let's go into our final thoughts here. Max, lead us into the final thoughts. Future sci-fi. Awesome.
Yeah, so I thought the beginning was really strong. The first like 30 or 40 minutes I really liked. And as soon as he went into the future, it just kind of nothing happened. Nothing paid off. All of the little like the little tiny plot points, like the twists we were expecting. Like there were like four or five different twists that were supposed to happen by the end. And when they finally paid off, nothing important happened. It would just kind of seem like a waste of time. But I liked the last 5 minutes of the movie. That was pretty cool. When there was like this big kind of, to avoid spoilers, there was just like another big CGI sequence. I thought that was pretty cool. But everything in the middle just kind of was nothing. So I feel like it could have just been a really good like short, like 40-minute like short film instead of it definitely did not need to be 2 hours at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked the cinematography. I thought the music was great. If it didn't really fit the movie, it kind of felt like Hunger Games or Interstellar. This movie really wanted to be Interstellar, like super bad.
It needed about $30 million more dollars.
Yeah.
To do that.
It was like a high effort, low budget movie. And you know, exactly. Like, came straight out of Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to say though. I'll give it a 7 out of 10 glass masks with flower designs on them. Just because I thought it was kind of cool, it just really did not go anywhere. But I liked the style it had, and I would still recommend it.
All right. That's cool. Very good. Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more I have to add. I was intrigued by the first 10 or 15 minutes, but it really just kind of slides pretty quickly downhill from there. I think the performances are good, especially... Ethan and his father are particularly strong. The visual elements get pretty good at some times. I feel like someone took a look at this script and knew that it wasn't a great script, but that they could make money off of it and sort of gave it an appropriate budget, which is scaled back for this kind of film, but it's, you know, I don't think Australia has a huge film industry of its own, so they were more willing to give this movie a bit more money, even though the script is pretty lackluster. I kind of like the score, even though, yeah, it really didn't fit. It's been about 36 hours since I watched this movie, and I don't remember a lot of it, to be honest. It kind of slipped out of my head that easily. So overall, I'm gonna have to give this probably 6 unremovable bracelets out of 10.
Gina, why don't you lead us into your final thoughts?
Shout out to Contact being the best movie ever. That is a great movie. Please go watch that instead. To me, that still is one of the best films. It aged beautifully. That tackles this type of subject. And it doesn't get really political, but it still addresses it more than this film does. You know, definitely should have been a Netflix original out here in these streets. So I don't really know. No. I put this with that Netflix film that was trying to tie into Cloverfield, and they were in space, and I didn't remember anything about that movie either. I put that with that movie.
Yeah, Cloverfield Paradox. Yeah.
Yeah, they try to take on too much and the writing isn't there to support it. But it looked pretty, so, you know. There's that. So I give this movie a 2 out of 5 necklaces or pendants he picked up. That is a mortal like flaw to my film professor, like stuff like that, where he's like, oh, here's a necklace or pendant that represents all the emotional weight of this film.
For me, I thought it looked pretty as well. Not quite Blade Runner beautiful. Well, that's a high bar. I'm sorry I even said that. Can we cut that? Can you cut that out, editors? Thank you.
You know, this movie wasn't as good as one of the movies directed by the best director working today.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm going to have to send myself into the future to correct that past. Does that work? Does that track? How does going into the future even correct the past? Okay. It sounds beautiful. It even looks kind of neat. I love dead spacemen in sci-fi stuff. Always cool stuff happens when you find a dead astronaut. Why the Last Man Standing? Brilliant. That creepy as hell Doctor Who episode in the library. Fantastic. This one even. I was hooked. Dead spaceman. Where is this going? And that's where it went. I did like to see the actor that plays Jason Stackhouse. I loved True Blood for a long time. That was like me and my wife's binge show for a very long time. So it's great to see him getting work too. I like Cody Smith-McPhee. I just wish I liked more movies he was in. So before I continue to say ridiculous things, I'm going to stop myself and give this 5 telephone calls into the past 10 times? What? Does that add up? Well, I don't know. Sci-fi.
It's science.
Science.